6. As I'm getting older in the Lord, I realize just how important it is that we would be ready in season and out of season. That God could desire to use me at any time. And if I am not taking my time of preparation, if I am not one that is constantly, diligently spending time at the Lord's feet, I will be one who misses out on opportunities that I believe God desires to give me, to give us as a church. And so I want to encourage you this evening. There's a verse really that's been on my heart. It's been in the back of my mind, if you would, as I'm traveling or navigating this particular season in my walk. And I've been with the ministry of U-Turn for Christ in Calvary Chapel, Romoland for 19 years. And I am getting ready to transition into the missions pastor position at Calvary Chapel, Monrovia. And I can just see God's hand intervening. I can tell you another thing, that God has not allowed the plan that I had in my mind to develop in the way that I saw it in my mind. But I can tell as I look back that God has definitely had His hand in every situation in my life, even my failures, and they are many. But God is a gracious God. And this morning, as I was actually not feeling well myself, I looked at my phone and Pastor Bob had texted me and he said he wasn't feeling well. And I thought to myself, well, that makes two of us. And I continued to read the text message and it said, hey, Ken, you step in for me tonight. And my response to that was automatic. I said, yes. There's been a desire in my personal heart to break bread with this fellowship, and made it to my desk, my table, and I began to try to discern, God, what is it that you desire to speak to the church tonight? And just as quickly as that happened, I looked at the clock. It was about 8 o'clock. I just haven't been feeling myself. And all of a sudden, I'm about to start getting ready to read, and there's a situation that needs my personal attention. And then right at the end of that situation, on the heels of that, a brother from Calvary Cameron Park, who knew that I was sick, stops in to bring me a cup of coffee. And as he brings me this cup of coffee, he's got his Bible and he says, Pastor, do you have time? I want to read Acts chapter 7 to you. And I just got done telling him, hey, I've committed to teaching this evening and I don't know what I'm teaching. And I'm thinking to myself, you want to read me Acts chapter 7? Like 60 verses in that chapter. So I sit through him reading these 60 verses in Acts chapter 7. By the time he's done reading, I'm convicted and I know what I'm supposed to share on. And it was just a good reminder this morning to be flexible. That I never know what God desires to do. You never know what God desires to do. But we need to be prepared and we need to be available. And so God began to speak to my heart in Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7. And I want us to kind of zoom in and look at the life of... Can you guys hear me properly? Where's Josiah? Can you turn me up a little bit? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But before we jump into Acts chapter 6, I want to read a verse from the book of Esther. You stay in Acts chapter 6, but I want to read a verse from Esther chapter 4, verse 14. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And so, Father, we come before you, Lord, and as we look to the scripture, we ask, God, that you would speak. Father, we are living in perilous times, and Father, you through your word have instructed us. You've warned us of the very times that we're living in. And if there was ever a time, Lord, where we needed to be bold, where we needed to stand, Father, for you, it's for such a time as this. And I pray that the church, Lord, Calvary Chapel, and specifically tonight, Calvary Chapel, Sacramento, let us be those, Lord, that are ready. I believe just looking at Stephen's life, Lord, we'll be able to see that he didn't know the things that were going to happen in his life and how you desired to use him, but he was a man that was prepared. And so I pray that we would be a church that is prepared, that we would be those, Lord, that are prayed up, that are studied up, and that we're ready for anything and everything that you may desire to do in and through us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm sure you're all familiar with the book of Acts. Acts is a very interesting book. You have really the birth of the church. Jesus has really ascended. If we were to start in Acts chapter 1, Jesus had been crucified, and the disciples had received instruction that they were to wait in Jerusalem, that the Holy Spirit, the promise that God the Father had given them, would come upon them, and that they would be empowered, and that they would go out and make disciples in Jerusalem, that they would be in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And there these men are waiting. And understand something, because this has been very critical for me. Sometimes the only thing that God will allow you to do in your walk is to wait. He told them, you're not to do anything. The only thing that's on the menu, if you would, is that you would wait. You can't do anything until you've been empowered, until you receive the dunamis power in your life. Then you'll be able to go forth and be the instruments that I've been shaping and molding you to be. And so understand that Christianity, that our relationship with Christ, that our journey with Him, it involves a lot of waiting. And that's a very difficult thing to do. And I believe Stephen understood this. I believe that when Stephen comes on the scene, he's already known amongst the brethren, but he's really not on the apostles' radar yet. There surges this problem in the church. The church is beginning to be persecuted after Peter makes that bold stand there in Jerusalem. And this untrained fisherman gives this beautiful sermon, and he's teaching and he's quoting from the Old Testament, and definitely not the Peter that we saw in the Gospels. And there is this man, and he's teaching, and 2,000 people come to the Lord. People from all over the nations, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2. Mexicans? Probably not Mexicans, right? But there was people from all over the place. And Peter boldly stands and he teaches. And there's a great conviction. And people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through him, through the teaching, through the word. And all of a sudden now there's a great persecution that's coming upon the apostles. They're being beaten. I believe if we're paying attention in this very country, we're going to be beaten ourselves. And there was ever a time that we need to take advantage of being bold, not being shy, stepping out, and being a light for Jesus. It is now. And Stephen is that man who's quietly, if you would, he's a man of the word. We can tell when you look at Acts chapter 7, just the eloquency of his speech and the presentation of the gospel that he does. He recounts really the entire history of the Jewish nation. And now you have to understand, Stephen is most likely maybe 2, and I think I'm stretching, 3 years old in the Lord. He's a young pup. He's not a seasoned veteran. But this is a man that in the text that we're going to see on 3 different occasions, the Bible tells us that he was full of the Spirit and wisdom, that he was full of faith and power, And then in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, he's full of the Holy Spirit. And that's what really drew my attention. Because God desires that Brother Angel be a man that's full of Him. If I'm going to be used, if God is going to take my life and He's going to make a difference through my life and I am going to shine for Jesus and He's going to use my life to reach others, then I need to be full of Him. And the only way that you and I can be full of Jesus is to spend time with Jesus. There is no cutting corners. There is no being lazy. God desires, Hosea chapter 11, and I have drawn you with cords of love. Do you sense Him tugging at your heart at 3 a.m. in the morning? And He's saying, come and sit at my feet. Do you sense His tugging when you're shopping and there's a woman, a man that He wants you to share the gospel with and you feel that tugging in your heart? I felt that tugging as I'm coming down the mountain. I'm looking at the clock, but a sweet man to me, a national treasure is what I call, Grandpa Lou. I knew that he had a bad tooth and I needed to stop in and anoint him with oil. There was a tugging in my heart. And maybe you sense that tonight. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe you desire to be married and God is saying, you need to spend time with me that I would shape you and mold you into that godly husband. But I can tell you one thing. It doesn't matter on what level, but He is tugging on your heart. And we take a look around our nation, our country, the very city that we live in, it is putrefying. Everywhere we go, whether they're saved or not saved, that's ministry. Christians need to be encouraged. Unbelievers need to hear the gospel. And we have been the ones that have been chosen to do that very thing. Can you guys hear? Why is everyone so quiet? I sense the tugging on my heart. I've been sensing it more and more. I'm sitting in that chair while they're leading us in worship and I'm asking God, God, what are you doing in my life? I know you're doing something. You're doing something extraordinary, God. I just got back from teaching in Jerusalem. I taught at Calvary Chapel Monroe. I'm teaching everywhere. I don't understand what God is doing in my life. And I'm scared. Because I know that if I take my eyes off of Jesus and I get my fingerprints all over it, it's just a matter of time before it comes crashing down. And I've done that way too many times in my life. But God desires to use you. He desires to use me. He desires to use us. But we need to be those that are prepared. We need to be those that aren't asking, well, God, why would you use me? I'm the least qualified. That's true. But I'm learning in my older age. I just turned 30 years old. And I'm asking, or when the Lord, I sense a tug on His heart, I say to myself, why not me? God knows my heart. I don't say that pridefully. I just know that there is no one worse than I am in this room. And that when God is done doing what He's asking me to do, there's no one in this room that He can shine more through than me because I'm the worst of all the sinners in this room. Except maybe in that back part of the sanctuary back there. You sense that tugging in your heart? I sense it. Maybe you're a young Christian. Maybe you've been with the Lord 20 years like I have. Maybe you're in the 40-year mark with the Lord. But I can tell you one thing. God doesn't desire that we would be comfortable in our walks. I've read testimonies of men who are 70 years old. I think it was Mueller who traveled 185,000 miles on horseback from the age of 70 till the day that he died sharing the gospel. And he learned other languages. God isn't done with you or me until we're standing before His presence. He desires to use us. Let it be our cry, church. God, use me, stir me up, take me out of my comfort zone. Do whatever it is that you desire to do, God, but I need you to do it. I want God to use my life, and I believe that God wants to use your life. And I believe that you desire to be used by God. I believe that. Maybe just the people in the front row here. I desire. So I want to take a look at some things in the life of Stephen, really, that revolve around the three times that the scripture tells us that he was full. See, because you never know. I don't believe Stephen understood. I don't believe Stephen knew what God's plan was for his life. I think in the midst of this revolution, of this Jesus movement that was going on in Jerusalem, he heard the gospel, he accepted it, he embraced it, he was born again, and there was a fire that was ignited in his heart. And true men of God, true women of the Lord are forged at Jesus' feet. And that's where he was, that's where Stephen was. Steve was one that got saved, and he was just captured by the love of Jesus. And listen to what the scripture says in Acts chapter 6. We'll pick up in verse 1. Now in those days, the days of persecution, the hand is heavy, the enemy's hand is heavy over the church, that the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "Is it not desirable that we should, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Here's this man in the background, in the shadows. Jesus has just been crucified. The world as they knew it had been turned right side up. God in the flesh had come to dwell amongst men. And here's this young man, Stephen, who hears the gospel. He embraces it. And all of a sudden, there's a situation in the church. Some widows are being neglected. And they bring this to the attention of the apostles, and the apostles respond to this by saying, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and prayer to tend to these widows." Understand something. The apostles don't think that they're above what's being asked of them. They just know what God has called them to do. Understand something, guys. I was meditating on this. Without Stephen and these other 6 men who are mentioned here, if they aren't faithful to the calling that they had to serve tables and to tend to these widows, these apostles would be not able to exercise the calling that they had. You think of Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 9 and 10 when they burned strange fire before the Lord, and then you have Kentucky Fried priests. And they fall dead before the presence of the Lord and the children of Israel. Now, Aaron had 2 other sons, Ithamar and Eleazar. And it was God's plan that 4 of his children would oversee 3 tribes each. But when those men burned strange fire, the other 2 men, Ithamar and Eleazar, who were left alive, they had to carry double the burden. Guys, stand your post. Stephen is one of those men that he's being faithful in the little things. I read something by D.L. Moody today. There are many of us that desire or are willing to be used by God for great things. But there are few of us who are willing to be used by God for small things. Like pick up a bathroom and scrub a urinal. Or drive down to Mexico and do some face painting. Oh, hey, you want to go to Israel? Oh, I'm going to Israel. Oh, yeah. But, hey, we need some help to wash some dishes. Huh? What? Hey, I think the Lord's talking to you, Paul. He was faithful. Guys, this isn't really one of my points, but I need you guys to understand. I need to understand that if other men are going to be able to do their jobs, I need to do mine. I need to. Sometimes, listen to this story. It's in 1 Kings chapter 22. You don't need to go there. But King Jehoshaphat is good friends with King Ahab. And King Ahab is a wicked man, Daniel. Wicked. And all of a sudden, one day, Ahab comes to King Jehoshaphat and he says, Jehoshaphat, I'm going to war. I'm going to battle. Will you come to battle with me? Your horses or my horses or your horses and my army is your army. And then there you go. See, Ahab was the king over Israel. He was king over 10 tribes. Judah, or Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, was king over 2 tribes. And Ahab tells Judah's king, Jehoshaphat, hey, look, I'm going to disguise myself. I'm going to go into the battle, but I'm going to disguise myself. But you, I want you to wear your kingly attire. And I can almost see Jehoshaphat like, yeah. All right, chariot time. What he didn't know was that in the enemy's camp, the generals had talked amongst each other and said, look, I don't want you to kill anybody except the king of Israel. So they're out there in the battle, and all of a sudden, these generals, they see King Jehoshaphat, who they think is King Ahab, and they're like, go after, ignore the battle, go after him. See, I've looked at my senior pastor and said, man, I wish I could do everything that he does, but I have no idea of the size of the enemy that's chasing him. It looks appealing. It looks really cool, but it's really not. Those guys that are being used on that level by God are being chased by some serious enemy. And there's Jehoshaphat, oh, help me! They finally realized that it wasn't him and they turned away from him. Don't be so quick to desire to walk in another man's shoes. It's so difficult at times. And Stephen was one of those men who was waiting. I don't even think, when I study his life a little bit, the Bible doesn't tell us much of him, but I don't really think he had aspirations to be used by God on some apostle level. He was just faithful in the little things. But the first thing I want you to see, that we see starting in verse 5 of Acts chapter 6, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. What does that mean? A man full of faith. The first thing that comes to my mind is Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. So I believe the Bible is telling us that Stephen was a man that was full of the word of God. Guys, we cannot be men or women who are going to be used of God if you're not a man of the Word of God. If you're not a woman of the Word of God. If you're not one that's constantly, diligently persevering in your relationship daily. God doesn't want spurts of Christianity. He wants a lifestyle of it. That's what He desires. And Stephen is full of faith. This Greek word full means to be well fed. I think I've grasped the idea. He was well fed. Now, if my friend Tony says, hey, I made some fresh tortellini soup, come over, the way that I get fed is if I come to the table. The way that you and I are well fed is if we come to his table. Do you realize in the book of Exodus, when they transferred the Ark of the Covenant, that was covered. And there's a whole different, just a whole lot of things that they used to use to, when they transported, they would cover the Ark, they would cover this. One of the things that they wouldn't cover was the bronze laver where you could wash yourself. Because God's Word is always open to our access. A wise man once said, we're only as close to God as we choose to be. And he was full of faith. He's full of the Word. He was a man that was constantly just ensconced in it. Constantly seeking God and what God had to say to him. Guys, we need to be. We need to be at His feet. But it's not just knowing the Word. He was a man that was full of faith, but He was also full of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I think it's pretty simple. When we're born again, when we deposit our trust in Jesus Christ and we become men who the Spirit dwells in us, to be filled with the Holy Spirit means that you are no longer, God has control of your thoughts, He has control of your emotions, and He has control of your will. It is no longer your thoughts, but His thoughts. Paul writes in Philippians, keep your mind on these things. It's no longer I'm being governed by my emotions. It's I'm going to do what is written in Scripture. That's what's going to dictate my decisions. Guys, it's so dangerous when we're not. I was sharing with a young man today, and I took him to 1 Samuel 27:1, and it says, and David said in his own heart, David, he's being chased by King Saul. He's hiding in caves. He's running out of places to hide. And he's vexed. He's tired. He's exhausted. And he says, the Bible says, and David said within his own heart, if I stay here in Israel, I'm a dead man. And he decides to go to Philistine territory. Who are the Philistines? Israel's perpetual enemy. And the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 27:7, I think, that David dwelt in the land of the Philistines for 1 year and 4 months. 16 months. But listen, Daniel. It says, and David said in his own heart. In other words, David spent 16 months in the enemy's camp, and it all started with one nasty little conversation with himself. You talk to yourself? Jump in your car, and instead of talking to God, you're trying to reason how you're going to do this, how you're going to do that. I'm going to make my son understand this way. I'm going to make her understand. And we're just sitting there talking to ourselves. And David got himself into trouble, one conversation with himself. I ask you tonight, church, are you one that is filled with the Holy Spirit? Are your emotions, your thoughts, and your will, are they in His hands? Are you being governed by Him? If you're married, ask your wife, ask your husband. It's that simple. Are you being governed by the Spirit? Guys, it takes a breaking. The Bible, Jesus said in that great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied, satiated. But if you look at the three Beatitudes before that, they all speak of a breaking. Matter of fact, blessed are the meek. Guys, that word meek there in the Greek is praus, P-R-A-U-S, and it means to take a wild stallion and to break it of its will. You are, I am, we are useless to God if we do not allow God to break us of our own will. He's not interested in angel.com. He's not interested in, look, Peter, I walk on water.com. He's not. It's all about Him. Matter of fact, Acts chapter 1, right? The Spirit will come upon you and empower you to what? To be witnesses, to be martyrs, to live a crucified life, to be one that lays down his life for His kingdom. He was filled with faith and the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Word. But his life was also surrendered to Him. Is your life surrendered to Christ? I know a lot of us like to have fire insurance, but He's not interested in fire insurance. He wants to be our master. He desires that we would be a slave, a doulos for Him. Are you guys okay? I'll just wrap this up. Father, no, I'm just kidding. He wasn't just a man that was full of faith and a man that was full of the Spirit. But jump down to verse 8 of Acts chapter 6. And Stephen, being full of faith, and he was filled also with what? with power. See, this is, I was meditating on this. In the verses before, it says that Stephen was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. He was a man who was diligent into being in the Word, and he was also a man that was allowing God to govern over his emotions and his thoughts and his will. And then the Bible reiterates, he was full of faith. Okay? He didn't keep his hand off the book. But now he's a man that's filled with power. See, I believe that in between him being summoned, if you would, to serve the widows and what's about to take place in Stephen's life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit transpired in his life. Now he's got dunamis power. Now he's got dynamite power. Do a study on this. Matter of fact, the apostles, when they were given power, the Bible tells us that they weren't given dunamis power, they were given exousia, a different type of power. Okay? The church, the Bible speaks of dunamis power, that dynamite. And this is where Stephen gets that power. But understand something, guys. Because many a times in my walk, I've been, God, where's the power? I'm praying for power. I'm asking for power. Where's the power? And he says, Angel, you got it all wrong, son. See, when you read Acts chapter 10, the Bible tells us that when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him and endowed him with power. I got a question for you. When Jesus is baptized in Matthew, the Bible says that the Father comes from heaven and he speaks in an audible voice. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then the Holy Spirit came upon him and empowered him for ministry. I've always wondered, God, why when Jesus said, tell Telestai on the cross, why wasn't your audible voice heard then saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased? See, you got to understand something. See, when Jesus came to be baptized, the Bible doesn't tell us, the Bible does tell us in Philippians that he emptied himself. He didn't resurrect people from the dead. He didn't walk on water. He didn't heal lepers. He didn't give the blind their sight, abusing or using his godly powers. He did those things as a man, fully man. The same weapons that you and I have, prayer and fasting and being in the Word, is how he did those things. Now, when he comes to be baptized, Jesus, as he's growing up, one day Jesus picked up the scroll of Isaiah and he realized that he would be the lamb that was led to the slaughter. He realized, the Bible tells us in Luke, that he grew in wisdom before God and men. He came to a knowledge one day, oh, this is speaking of me. And so when he came to be baptized, by being baptized, he's telling God the Father, Father, I understand that your plan for my life is to die on a cross. I understand that your plan for my life is that I would redeem fallen man and I choose to obey you. That's when the empowering came. God is not interested in empowering you, empowering me, empowering us to fulfill our little plan for our own life. He only desires to empower you, to empower me, to fulfill the plan that he has for our life. That's it. And so maybe there's no power in your life because it's all about you. Well, God, why aren't you empowering me? Pastor Bob is getting old. I can step in there. And God is like, well, I didn't call you to be the senior pastor. I called you to be a janitor. Nothing wrong with that. You do that to the best of your ability for Jesus. Be the happiest janitor that Calvary Chapel Sacramento's ever seen. What's wrong with that? Pastor, the bathroom stank. I know I've had to clean them. So maybe tonight there's no power because it's not you truly asking God to empower you to fulfill his will, but it's to fulfill your own will. And you're lacking that power. Guys, understand something. I don't know this church. I'm not here to beat anybody up. I know Pastor Bob a little bit, and I think he's a great teacher. The men that I know that know him speak very highly of him. I know you're well taught. And I didn't come to beat anybody up. Pastor Bob didn't say to me on the text this morning, hey, Wednesday night, that's the rebellious group. Okay, give it to them tough. He didn't say that. It's just the message that God put on my heart. I want to be a man that is full. But understand something, see, he's full at the beginning of his walk. He's full in the midst of his walk. And by the time he's being stoned in Acts chapter 7, the Bible says, and being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed up into heaven and he saw Jesus, not sitting, standing. The only time the Bible ever says that Jesus was standing at the right hand of the Father, welcoming his son home. Every time the Bible speaks of this man, he's full. And I had to ask myself today, God, am I full? Is it every time that I sense that you tug on those cords of love, am I being obedient to come and to ignore my phone, to ignore the emails, to ignore the phone calls, to ignore the messages, and just sit at your feet? There is nothing more disrespectful and vexing when you're trying to have a conversation with someone and they're busy looking at their phone, looking to see if there's someone else more important in the room than you. God never does that with us. Matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 8, the Bible says that there's 30 minutes of silence in heaven. Now, Pastor Bob's theory on that is that there's no women in heaven. That's why it's quiet. I don't agree with him. Okay, that's Pastor Bob, okay? But I believe, see, the Bible says that the incense of the saints in typology, okay, the incense speaks of the prayers of the saints. And in Revelation chapter 8, an angel comes with the incense, and all of a sudden God is saying in heaven to the heavenly host, hey, shh, be quiet. Tony is speaking to me, and I don't want nothing to distract me from that. Oh, Revelation, the easiest book in the Bible to understand. 30 minutes of silence because they were bringing his children's prayers before him. Matter of fact, Mark chapter 10, Bartimaeus, Josephus tells us that the biggest flea market in the world, where northern Africa hits the Middle East, and there's this beggar, and he's hearing the commotion. I can almost close my eye, and there's Bartimaeus blind, and all of a sudden he starts to feel this vibration on the ground. Because there's about 15,000 people walking with Jesus, not to mention the people in the flea market. And I can almost sense like he's hearing the vibrations, like, what's going on? Then he's hearing the cowbells and the goat bells, and he's starting to hear this big commotion. And, hey, somebody tell me what's... Hey, shut up! And when he finds out it's Jesus of Nazareth, you know the story. Jesus! Have mercy on me. And the Bible says, and I love that verse, it says, and Jesus stood still. 15-some thousand people just come to a screeching halt because some beggar on the side of the road is drawing Jesus' attention. That Greek word for stood still means immovable. Do you realize that when you cry out to Jesus, he just stops everything. He says, my son is talking. How can I help you, son? What can I do for you, my boy? I said, Lord, can I get a steak and shrimp? Absolutely, son. Get out there and mow the lawn. Okay, Lord. God's just a good God. He's a great God. A beautiful God. He's filled with power. Guys, you want that power? I just finished the book that Pastor John Lucas let me borrow. I got two new copies in my car. The Tale of Three Kings. What a great book. And one of those pages, man, David, the author is, you know, picturing David in a difficult situation, talking to one of the men, one of the wise men in the kingdom. And he's basically saying, you got to fight back. And David says in the book, he says, it was never the power of God that I sought. It was being in His will. And if God is choosing to put me down, if it's time for me to be replaced, if my time is done, I don't want to fight against God. And I read that book, I started crying, I said, Lord, I have no idea what a humble man looks like. I'm so prideful. God, it's so much about me all the time. As I'm getting older, I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about Him. If that means I don't sleep, if that means some kid that can take a flight to Ontario, if that means that I need to drive him for 11 hours just to fellowship with him, I'm in. I want God to use me. I want Him to shine through my life. And He wants to empower us. But it can't be what drives us. What drives us needs to be just an unadulterated love for Jesus. That's it. That's all. And Stephen was that kind of a man. Matter of fact, Stephen in the Greek language means a crown. How fitting. Bible teaches that we're able to, I think, acquire 5 crowns that we could cast at His feet. There's a special one that only pastors can obtain. Different Bible study for a different time. But Stephen wasn't interested. I think his mindset was like, I'm not interested in 5 crowns. I want my life to be the crown. That's what I want. Way too many times it's all about me. Guys, God wants to use your life. But it has to be His way. It has to be on His terms. I don't get to pick and choose. We love to quote Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Really? God's funny, man. He has a sense of humor. You notice He has a sense of humor? Oh, man. He has a sense of humor. Guys, let us be those that are full. Let us be those that tonight in your own private time when you get home, and you know when God speaks to you. You know when He's whispering in your heart. You know that small, still voice in your heart when He's saying, daughter, come. That we would be those that would respond. I'm sure if we went around the room tonight, we'd be like, God, why aren't You speaking to me? I've been crying out that You would speak to me on this matter. And I think so many times God would respond to me, son, I called you this morning, but you didn't show up. Matter of fact, I wanted to talk to you about that. But you were a no-show. You didn't show up. God wants to speak. He wants to use us. Are we willing to pay that price? And so, Father, we just come before You this evening. And Father, I pray, God, that we would examine ourselves. Father, that we would measure ourselves against no man. And Father, that we would look to You, Lord, and that we would humble ourselves, Father, before You. And Father, You could have chosen to have done what You've done in a billion, trillion other ways. Yet You chose to be crucified because nothing speaks louder that You love us, Lord, than the way You chose to die. And if, Lord, while we were enemies, You were willing, Lord, to give us Your Son, what are You wanting to withhold from us today? Nothing. I just pray, Lord, that we would allow You to mold and to shape our heart into being a heart that would be one that's only interested in that You would be glorified and that You would use our life just for that very purpose. Father, I ask You, Lord, that You would touch us tonight. Encourage us. You're not angry at us. You're in love with us. Father, I can almost in my mind's eye just see You there with a big horn of oil and You just want to pour it out all over my life. I pray that my heart would be right. And I pray that You would use us and that You would bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.